righty, we're up and running.
Here we go again. Nice. Yeah. So what, of course, I would be super curious is like, how did the whole digital operations thing came to you, or how did you discover it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I studied engineering, so I kind of always had that process flow, kind of logical brain side of things. But I was finishing up my master's working for a company called Celonis as an intern. And they're an international company. So they had told me, you know, we'll be able to sponsor your visa. Everything's going to be fine. I said, great. And then the kind of, as they say, the tide went out and Celonis was left kind of a little bit not in a great financial position and the IPO window closed. And so they stopped sponsoring visas. So I was looking for any opportunity I could find. And I think I told you either, or you know, that I work for the company Hampton, which is the community for founders. And so I was working on a different startup at the time called Underdog Analytica. It's dead now, but it was a sports betting hedge fund in its simplest form. And so I applied to join Hampton in June of last year as a member. And when I did my interview and they told me that it was going to cost $3,000 a year at the time, I said, well, I can't afford that. Is there any way that I can kind of wash dishes for dinner? Can I pay off? Can I work off my membership dues? And they said, well, that's an interesting idea. You're declined. You're not going to be a member because you don't have any revenue, but we'll keep us in the loop. And so for 3 months, every month on the first of the month, I emailed the guy that interviewed me. I was like, hey, do you have any work for me? Do you have any work? Let me know. And eventually he said, well, do you know anything about Zapier? And I said, no, but I'd love to learn. And he said, all right, we'll give you a shot. So I did a 1 month trial and just taught myself everything on the fly. And then they gave me a full-time job in September. So I was the first employee there, which was spectacular.
This is crazy because you said like application and I thought, yeah, job application. But no, you just tried to become a
I wanted a to member. Join, yeah.
And actually someone told me about Hampton a long time ago before it was launched, like, I don't know, a few months. And I looked at the criteria and at the time I didn't pass like these criteria, right? I don't know what it is now, but it is like, yeah, I need 7 figures revenue or something like that. A 7-figure exit, stuff like that. But you still applied. And then even though there was no job, somehow you were able to get one. That's a really cool story.
I was very desperate. I was running out of money in my bank account, living in Spain with my soon-to-be fiance, and like I just needed anything. And so when he said that there was a chance that there'd be work, I was like, all right, well, I'll be on it. So that third month that I emailed him, I usually emailed on the first of the month, and I emailed on like July 31st or something, or August 31st. And I was like, all right, I'm a day early. I'm really, really eager. Is there anything there? So yeah, I'm very fortunate that they gave me a shot. And then over the next, you know, I've been at Hampton for about 10 months now, just learning Airtable, Zapier, HubSpot. Love it. I think it's a super fun space to be in.
Nice. So Hampton is a community, right? Primarily. And what does the tech stack look like? Is it primarily a Slack community or?
Yeah. So members usually interact, but like, 100% on Slack. That's where the forum is. We've got channels, but both based on topic. So you've got like a talk AI, a talk parenting, talk books, and then you also have geography based things. So geo Austin, geo New York, SF, so on. And so that's really where everyone interacts. And then we also do these core group sessions that happen once a month. So after about 6 weeks that you've been in Hampton in the community, we place you into a core group with 7 other founders and a facilitator. And then those online calls take place over Zoom. So the member interaction, that stack is very simple, Slack and Zoom. But then on the back end, you know, Stripe for payment processing, HubSpot for the CRM, we're hosting our blog on HubSpot, Airtable is kind of how we manage the interviews and the logistics of getting someone into Hampton, as well as organizing core groups. So I'd say like the real weight of what the stack depends on is HubSpot, Zapier, Airtable. We use Bubble for our member portal. So we have someone that's building out a full member portal, which is very comprehensive and really quite nice. So yeah, that's the majority of kind of the builder stack.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, there are not two crazy tools, right? All of them are big and well established. So you're probably able to get quite far with Zapier. Because what I found with these automations, as long as you stick to the standard tools, you can get a lot done with no code. But as long as you are trying to implement one of these more niche tools, there are no cookie cutter solutions, right? And you have to code. But yeah, if I understand it correctly, you're basically building the digital glue between these different tools. Is that
exactly
a fair description? So I don't know how much you can go into the details, but I'm super curious, like, what would be some examples of the stuff you're building there? What's stuff you're really proud of?
Yeah, I think that there are a few ones that, a few good examples that I think are really nice. Like when the whole onboarding flow is built with in a combination of Zapier and then HubSpot workflows or automations. And so like when someone joins, you know, we send them a welcome email. In that welcome email is a link to a type form to confirm their mailing address. And then when they fill that out, you know, shirt size, address, your birthday too, just in case we want to send you a birthday gift, that automatically sends them a swag box, which is really nice. So that's like zero touch automated welcome box of Hampton gear, which is really nice. And then two other ones, you know, I'm really trying to dip my feet closer and more into the OpenAI Zaps as well. And so one that I really love that I'm still tinkering with, because I want to make it a little bit, I want to flesh it out a little bit more, but like every person that joins Hampton is highly encouraged to introduce themselves in our intros channel. And so I take in all of those intro channel posts, as long as they're, you know, the top of the thread, none of the responses. I take that in, process it through ChatGPT, and I ask, hey, do you think this person would be interested in parenting advice? Is a parent, is expecting a child? If yes, respond with the single word yes. If no, respond with the single word no. And then off of that, I filter. If it's a yes, then I respond in thread of that Slack message, hey, you should check out the parenting channel. And so what I would love to do is expand that to like a table, a lookup table essentially, that says, here's every channel we have now, and a description, like a two sentence description. Read that intro post, check it for all the descriptions. And then if the description matches the person's intro post, reference all those different channels that they might be interested in. So if I can build that out, I think that would save our community team a ton of time. Obviously, it's really nice to have our community kind of coordinators and the Hampton team having that high touch, like, hey, welcome to Hampton, you should check this out. But the more things that we can kind of remove from the process so that they can focus on really high touch things and also free up brain space and time, I think would be really nice. So that's something that is kind of a pet project for me. While I focus on other bigger high leverage things right now for the business side, that's something I really want to revisit.
Cool, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And what are you using for swag boxes? You're doing it fully automatically, and there's just an API or whatever, and it all.
Yeah, so I'll shout out Michael Martucci, and his company is called Swag Up, swagup.com, and they just really upgraded their Zapier API. And so you could add a new customer and send them a swag box. You can get notifications when you're low on inventory. You can, I'm pretty sure, auto reorder more of the same thing that you want, which is really like all incredible features. And then we also have another Zap that's based on Airtable. So if someone on our team realizes that a member has just had a baby, because we have a lot of like that demographic, they can check a box on Airtable. And that will send them a baby onesie, which is really cute. So that's another thing that I'm very happy that it's like we're trying to surprise and delight our members as much as possible, and really make that a very happy, like high value, but also happy experience being part of Hampton. So yeah, Swag Up, awesome partners, really, really big fans of theirs.
That's really cool, because at our agency, one of the things we've been testing sending new clients welcome gifts, right? Because one of the few people we actually listened to, because he did what we are trying to do before, told us, yeah, it might seem kind of weird. You can think about it, talk about it all day long, but it just works, right? It just works. And if you think about it, makes sense. Like, yeah, everyone likes getting a free gift. And
totally.
We haven't really figured out a good way to do this in an automatic way. So it has been a lot of manual work, which has its advantages. But yeah, we're definitely gonna look into this again. That sounds really cool.
It's a really easy thing to add to your onboarding flow. As soon as you have the mailing address, you're good to go. And honestly, one other tip as you guys think about it is I saw a really cool article a couple months back that I'm pretty sure was Airtable. With their early customers, they would send them like AirPods or Beats that were branded with Airtable. So definitely more expensive, but those people would wear them everywhere because they are a very high quality thing. So you're walking around SF, you're in the co-working space, and you're wearing these Airtable branded headphones. I mean, everyone's going to see that. You're going to tell people about it. So another thing to think about, like, yes, it's nice to send a t-shirt that they might wear when they go to sleep. But if you send something that's really nice that they're going to wear every day or show off, that might be a really nice high touch or good. It has a high ROI potentially to send out a more expensive gift.
That's really clever. Yeah. I mean, this is not how a lot of the swag stuff is supposed to work. But as you say, usually it doesn't because it's just a cheap t-shirt, right? And
totally.
You're really going to wear it. But if it's something like an AirPod, and even if they don't use it themselves, they might give it to a friend or whatever, and they use it if they, for example, already have one, right? So
yeah,
that makes...
Or another one, just while we're on the topic, another one that I like, because I've come across a lot of these examples, like Rex, they put out a lot of content about how when they were trying to launch, they would send bottles of champagne to all these companies, all these startups that had just raised a round, and their conversion from like sending a bottle of champagne to demo was 75% and then demo to close was 75% again. So like super high touch. They just had a task rabbit go buy a bottle of champagne and deliver it by hand to the office. And their demo and close rates were through the roof. So when you tie it to an occasion, I think you also get pretty good results there too.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's absolutely brilliant. Love that. So how does your daily work look like? Because I know that from myself, I'm kind of like the chief automation officer at our agency. And because I'm involved in all parts of the operation, I usually like I'm seeing what everyone is doing. I'm talking to all the team members and then try to basically think about how to save them time, right? Free up more of their brain space, do these things. And also same for me, right? How can I automate stuff I'm doing? This is like the angles I'm coming from, but I'm curious how, because you're not the CEO, right? So do you have like a systematic process where you like interview people and do time audits? I don't know. There are so many different things, but this is actually a tool we are using. Like we tried to do time tracking, never worked for us. And now we just do like these manual time audits every day, every now and then, where people write down every few minutes what they're working on. And then I can look at them and find the patterns. Oh, people are spending so much time on that. Let's find a way to save them more time here. So, but maybe it's also like just coming from the top for you. So someone is saying, can you please automate this? So super curious how it works.
Yeah, for me, it's a lot. It's pretty much just a running Kanban board. So I have like the to-do, the in progress, and the completed. And then I also have a, not VA, but yeah, I guess like we have a VA that is working in the Philippines and kind of helps out in all different places, but I kind of manage her and make sure that she's got tasks. So everything on that is in one board. And if anyone on the team wants to add something, they can. And then once a week, I go through with the CEO and we reprioritize what's on the board, talk about what's active, what's been completed recently. And I think my goal really is to try to both clear out the in progress stuff, but try to look around corners a little bit more. And this is something I'm really trying to work on, is like, how can I become predictive on what problems we might occur, or stuff around renewals with Hampton being around for a year. I really want to try to be better about that side of things. But most of my day is spent, you know, either working on infrastructure things to improve the membership accounting, I guess, is a good way to think about it, like where members are both in their membership and in the core group planning process. So trying to make people's lives easier through automations there. And then you talked about like the time tracking stuff. I think, yeah, we haven't tried anything like that. I know that there are platforms that you can kind of just like turn on and they'll keep a record of your Google Chrome tabs or something like that. I don't know any off the top of my head, but I know I've come across them. I think maybe we'll get to that point, but I have a backlog right now where we don't need it. But the thing that I have tried is doing ride-alongs in calls that I normally wouldn't be in. So like we've got an event planning, the head of event planning, but we also have, you know, she has different people that she's working with in terms of agencies and other people on our team when they're talking about planning events and try to scale that up. I have asked to go to a few of those calls that I wouldn't normally be in or I don't contribute to. I'm kind of just a fly on the wall. And it's time, of course, but that's where our ability to understand processes and the capabilities of Zapier and other automation platforms is to say, oh, you guys are sending out an email to the people on this list, you know, every 7 days to try to get them to sign up or whatever it is. Maybe we can automate that. And that's something that we can just kind of have that perspective on and maybe file the notes in afterwards or jump in if it seems appropriate. But trying to do those ride-alongs in calls that I wouldn't normally be in, I think it's a really good way to brainstorm and think of new automations to save people time.
Yeah, that's really smart. And I mean, so you're also putting in tasks to your Kanban board yourself, right? It sounds like it's not just other people, but also you are coming up with, like, actually, that would be a cool idea. Like if you, yeah, and then you basically talk to the CEO, decision maker, whatever. Is this a good idea? Whatever, should this prioritize? And then you execute it. Is that
totally?
Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is my first. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying this makes a ton of sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that it's one of those things where like this is the first startup I've worked in. This is my first real job, right? So like I see what I'm exposed to, and then having that really experienced person, the CEO. Jordan, who's awesome, you know, having his opinion on things and saying, you know, this is a good idea, but focusing on this right now is more critical, or I'm noticing this that maybe you don't see because it's on the finance side, which I don't have a ton of exposure to. So having that kind of two-way relationship and then the whole team can add things, I think creates a really good 360 picture of the company that everyone has abilities to add things to the automation to-do list. But then at the end of the day, it's the conversation about what's most important right now, what's going to help the business, what's highest leverage. Those are that kind of back and forth flexibility and the kind of like the bend don't break of what automations are critical is really, I think, a good relationship for this type of work.
Yeah. And what are you using for the Kanban board, actually? What tool?
Yeah, it's just on Notion. We have our whole kind of company wiki on Notion.
Yeah. And do you use any automations to manage yourself on this board? Because what we have actually is like automations that act like a product manager in a sense, where basically they look at performance, they look at tasks, they look at Slack messages, and then they send our team members a little nudges that say, hey, this client is still waiting for a reply, or this task is overdue. And what's going on, like these kind of things. I'm just curious if you're also using something like this to manage your own work.
No, right now I'm not, but I do like the idea of that kind of pulling stuff out of Slack. I don't know, what tools are you using? I've seen something like, I think called Linear for like task management. What are you using on that stack?
We're using a ClickUp for the task management. And it's not great. Like it's very buggy. It's far too slow at times, but it's incredibly flexible. And if you care about automations, I found it to be the best if you just want to iterate quickly, because I've used Airtable a lot before and we've tried Trello, and we actually used Trello before, but in ClickUp, it's just the API is very good, in my opinion, and they have a good interface for setting up automations directly in ClickUp. So you don't always have to use something like Zapier or whatever and trying ways to make it work. But actually you can write in a ClickUp, click on automation. And then what makes it also great is that you can just trigger webhooks right there based on different triggers, right? And this gives me gives me unlimited flexibility to glue these things together, right? And it's of course this also works in Airtable, for example, but I have found it to be more complicated and more error prone versus in ClickUp. At least this stuff is very good. the actual user interface and stuff is, yeah, mediocre.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, I've tried learning code 3 different languages. Nothing has stuck. I think it's just like an allergic reaction that I have to coding. But when it comes to the webhooks thing, that's really where I see my next personal development on a technical side. You know, like I feel fairly good at Airtable, Zapier I'm proficient in, HubSpot I'm fairly good at. But like being able to call the webhooks between things that don't normally play with Zapier, but if they do have an API, like that's something I would love to have access to. And there's a platform that I'm really excited about playing with more soon called School for Community Management, if you're familiar with that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's the, what's his name? The consulting guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I've had a few people talk to me about School recently, and I would love to play around with it more, but their Zap connections are not great. And so like, I really want to see, are there ways to use webhooks in that field? Stripe has an unlimited number of webhooks that are not available in Zapier. So that's kind of where I see my next personal evolution is learning how to use webhooks a little bit more efficiently, or just at all. You know, I've played with them, but with customer support helping me. So I would love to learn more about that stuff too.
What languages did you try to learn?
Oh, C++ in college, Python in my master's program, and then a SQL derivative called Process Query Language at that company Celonis that I had talked about earlier.
Yeah, so I always hated programming and never really got it. I also learned C++ in university studying physics, but absolutely hated it. It just wasn't in line with how my brain worked. And also like JavaScript, I'm always like, ugh. Like, I'm just chasing brackets all the time and I get so frustrated. But I found Python is actually very much in line with how my brain works. So, and also like with all the new AI tools like Copilot, you can just plug stuff into GPT-4 and ask it write a function, and surprisingly often it works. So, it works really well for Python because so much of the code on GitHub, which they used for training, is GitHub Python code, and this is why it's amazing at writing Python code. So I found that an awesome combination and language to use. So if you want to learn a language, I definitely would suggest giving Python another try. It's definitely, in my humble opinion, the best. But yeah, I mean, there are really 3 layers, I think, when it comes to these automation things. One is like using no code, using Zapier or whatever. The second level or whatever layer you want to call it is then using webhooks and like official APIs. And then the third level is using internal undocumented APIs. So, it's a bit frustrating, but because I'm always thinking like this stuff should be in the API, this should be possible with the API. I can do it in the user interface, but I can't do it in the API. It's very frustrating when you encounter situations like this. But what usually happens, and you can just open the browser and open this inspection window, and you can see like the internal network and see actually like the internal API calls. And then you can just trigger them using code yourself. And it's a bit risky because it's undocumented. Sometimes things change and all that stuff, but it definitely unlocks like huge opportunities. For example, we are using a tool for managing email campaigns, and the API is not very great. It's very limiting in what you can do, what data can you get out of it. So 80% of the stuff we're doing is just undocumented internal AI scraping, whatever. So we are actually able to get all the data out of the platform, put it into a Google Sheet where we can actually use it, right? Whereas this user interface is always a bit limiting, and you cannot do like all the stuff I described, like project management, right? We want to actually send a message, this campaign is underperforming, take action. But if it's just living in the user interface, you can't do anything with it, right? You actually need a person looking at it. But if it's possible to get the data out of that, you can put it in a Google Sheet and then you can do anything, right? That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And you could also run like a summary, or now you've got your tables that you could also work with and run automations off of those too. But that's a really good idea to get a little bit, I mean, gray hat, use some of those undocumented APIs, but then putting that email data, that's something that we're definitely interested in. Was trying to do a little bit more analysis on what emails are hitting, which ones cause the best results and so on. So I don't know, like what's your email service provider for that?
We are using, it's actually called Emailer. It's Instantly. But we're also using a second one called SmartLead. Their API is a bit better, but the user interface is a bit worse. There always seems to be this trade-off.
There's a trade-off, yep.
Yeah. Probably what kind of background the founders have. Like if the founders are not very technical, the user interface will be good, but the API will suck and the other way around. But yeah, it is what it is. And I actually usually prefer if the user interface is better. Because I can figure out the technical stuff, even if it's horrible, like, or if I have to do like these hacky internal API things, as long as my team members get a nice UI to play with, that's fine with me. So what I'm also curious about is, because you're not just doing the Hampton stuff, but also building an agency, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely slow playing it because I've got my plate very full. But yeah, I mean, it's been a fascinating world to jump into automations right now. And it feels like the tidal wave is growing more and more. I think, you know, I was talking to someone just yesterday who is a lot very heavy in like the AI community space. And he was telling me that, you know, people often ask, I want to incorporate AI into my business. I want more artificial intelligence, whatever it might be. And at the end of the day, they're almost always asking for automations. And so it's like this automation craze, whatever you want to call it. People are looking for more efficiency, more revenue, fewer people. I think that's like kind of the new vanity metric is what's my revenue to headcount or revenue per employee number. Automations help a ton with that. And so I'm very interested in helping more people and getting more exposure to this. You know, more apps in my kind of tool belt makes me happy and I get to learn more. But yeah, when there's demand, it's fun to be in a space for sure.
Yeah. And what I found interesting is like, I got to actually check if I understood it correctly, but what's the model? Is it, I think you're also basically doing the same you're doing with Hampton, right? Where you have like this board and people can add automations and then you will build it for them. And it's like a flat fee and you just work on it. And then you have a lower fee for basically maintenance, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's like a downsell for maintenance. Yeah. I think that the productized service, which has become really popular lately, makes a lot of sense for me, especially right now in life where I'm very busy and I need to both maintain expectations for myself and for my clients. You know, mental health is something that's super important to me and I've had run-ins. So it's like getting to a point where I know that I'm going to be able to deliver at a high quality on a monthly basis for someone. They know what they're getting. That's kind of the beauty of the productized service. And I think that the more that I niche down into saying, you know, I do onboarding for agencies or I do lead nurturing for agencies, I do the onboarding for a SaaS company, trying to like the productized service, I think needs to be really specific so that it's very plug and play. And the thing that makes me excited is that like, this is an automation agency. So if I didn't automate as much as I could, it'd be like the biggest joke on myself ever. So what I'm trying to do is put like an entry form into the website that just asks, you know, what's your name? What's the company? What's the URL? What do you do? And then are you an agency? Are you a SaaS? Are you a community? And then a couple of fun answers for me, because I like to make things that make me smile too. And then off of that response, are you familiar with Video Ask?
No, I don't think so.
So Typeform just spun out like a couple months ago, a Typeform, but the question is a video. So it would be like speaking the question and then you just respond. And so what I want to do is essentially build like an full end-to-end asynchronous interview where you get to know me because you're speaking to me, but I'm not actually there. So it's like, it's more personal questions too in the video ask. So it's like, hey, tell me a little bit about your revenue. Tell me about your tech stack. You know, my name's Grant. This is why I live in Spain. This is why I am this way, you know, and like, I want the personality of me to come through in an asynchronous way, because as I continue to be busy and as I hopefully continue to generate more demand, I don't want to do sales calls all the time. And I know that's a big part of an agency. So getting as much information asynchronously in a personal way where someone feels like they're getting to know me would be a really big benefit to overall efficiency. And then if they want a sales call afterwards, fine, you know, but if I can get through to the person, have them get to know me asynchronously with video ask, I think that's a really powerful lead qualification that can be completely asynchronous. And then the redirect is like, hey, do you want to do a sales call or do you think we need a sales call? If yes, why? Do you not need a sales call? Here's the payment link. Are you not interested? What went wrong or what did I not do or whatever it is? I think you could do a lot of that in an automated asynchronous way, which is really exciting to me. I think that's a very fun challenge to crack. And it gets me out of my shell to have to record myself on my computer, which is a new thing for me.
Yeah, nice. I got to try this. This sounds super interesting. And we're also all about these asynchronous reducing call cultural things.
Yeah.
Because our team is also all over the world and juggling these things can be challenging. And when someone is in Bali, I'm in Europe, can be sometimes hard to find the time, right, to actually set up a call with people. So
totally.
I think that's really interesting. And I think you're totally right that the key to the whole agency, productized agency, is really nailing it. And I mean, if I were you, I definitely would think along the lines of the community manager, because at least that's how I'm thinking about the automation thing, right? Basically, we have a bot called Vinny, which is the dog actually of a team member. So it's actually, he's nice because it's the dog picture. He's like our product manager. And yeah, he's basically fulfilling this role for us. And if you can position it in a similar way, like people can understand the value right away and you can position it against the money they would spend otherwise. And then it's when it's easy to sell, right? We are doing it with our agency where we are, a sales rep. And then like you would be paying that much for a sales rep. This is how much we are charging. It's kind of it's a no brainer because we actually, you're getting a full team and a lot more experience than with a beginner sales rep. And if you can do the same thing with like, I'm actually going to replace one community manager or a product manager for an agency or whatever niche you want to focus on. I mean, that's definitely a thing where you can scale, but also sell a lot more easily.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's also why I'm interested in meeting Sam Evans, because I think school has a lot of potential with both the creator communities and getting more automations in there, whether it's via web or Zapier app, API, whatever, would be very beneficial for them, and kind of copying Slack's playbook on that side. But, you know, the hill that I die on is with automations is really like, yes, there's money saved in the employment headcount. Yes, there's time saved in doing the actual task. But the biggest thing for me is that you hire someone that's making, you know, over $100,000 or your high leverage, like top hires, right? The fact that they don't have to context switch anymore because of automations is the real value. You know, like you're paying someone who's super smart, super good at what they do. Maybe they've got 20 years of experience. Why would you slow them down with a 7-day checkup email or a click this box on this Airtable form whenever? You know, like those are the types of things that I think automation really lets people get into. And like this concept of flow states and deep work, like my sister's a performance psychologist, you know, or performance coach. I learn a lot about this stuff from her. And that's really the value that I want to share with people, is that you can get your really high leverage hires, your team, to be firing on all cylinders and not have to have them do these kind of boring, mundane tasks. That's the beauty of automations at the end of the day. So totally agree with you. When you're able to eliminate a person on the headcount, that's awesome. But it's a really exciting, I keep on harping on this, it's just a really exciting space to be in right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's certainly how I think about it. And we're still hiring people, right? It's not about replacing them, but actually we are hiring amazing people. We are paying them very good money.
Yeah.
And I want them to waste basically zero time on stuff that can be automated, right?
Exactly.
Because, and it's, I'm sometimes having like, they are discussions with them. They are telling me, and that's actually not a big deal. It's like 5 minutes a day. And I'm like, yes, but it's like not 5 minutes, it's 30 seconds every, like at random times. And this is actually pulling you out from high value. Tom.
Exactly.
And this is why I care about this and why I want to get it off your plate and like really free up that brain space. You should exactly. no longer have to worry about checking this dashboard or whatever. Every morning you wake up and you have like a beautiful, clean to-do list with like priorities and everything ready for you. So you can really do what we are paying you for, like your experience and all that stuff. So we're running out of time. I mean, that's a feature, a bug on Zoom, the time constraint with a free plan I'm on. But thank you so much. This was awesome.
Yeah, great chatting. Happy to do it again anytime. And I think there's a lot that I can learn from you too on the webhook side. So definitely we'll be hitting you up for that.
Yeah, please do. Bye-bye.
Good stuff, man. See ya.